Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
My goal is to leave an inheritance for my children's children. You see, when you do that, you do a wonderful thing. See, some people say if you leave stuff for your kids, they may not appreciate it like you do. That is true. That could happen. However, if you train them in such a way that they learn to appreciate and value things, guess what? They then will appreciate it just as much as you. And then they will do the exact same thing with their kids. If I just taught my kids how to spend money, that's passing on generational curse. But if I train them in saving and investing, that's generational wealth. You decide which side of the line you want to be on, all right? If I teach my kids that they don't have to have a new car every 2 years to impress that guy at the red light that they're never going to see again, it changes their spending habits, their mindset about a new car, and all of those type things. And then it trickles down from just that car to everything else that they buy. Now they appreciate money for what is worth.
Cedric LaFleur is the definition of success, but his story began in not such a successful place. At age 18, he was a young father, a student, and working. He was buried in debt, so much so that he was even known by name at the payday loan counter. By 29, he decided that he was done living half a life. In this episode of Transformation Unfiltered, Cedric takes us inside the mindset shift that changed everything, how he rebuilt his finances, reconnected with what really mattered, and became a whole human leader living in freedom, not fear. Cedric is a motivational and empowering senior executive with more than 35 years of success across the healthcare, sales, and leadership industries. Cedric is a chief executive at LaFleur Leadership Institute, and he recently retired as regional sales manager from Abbott Laboratories after serving for 22 years. Cedric is the 8-time visionary author of several books. Not only is he an established professional and an author, he's also a father and husband. He's been married to Tammy for 38 years, and they have 2 kids. Welcome to the show, Cedric. I'm so delighted you're here today on Transformation Unfiltered.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here as well, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation.
Me too, especially because we had a little chance to get acquainted before, and we did dip into some of the things that were messy in your early life and early career. So why don't we just crack it right open and dive in?
One of the biggest ones, and I talk about it a lot, is when I was 29 years old. I was 10 years into being married, and I woke up one day and realized that I was broke. I had bills that were here and income that was here. And in any shape of imagination, that's broke. Okay. And I knew that I had to do something. I didn't know what to do. And I was watching, it was a Saturday, we were living in Palm Bay, Florida, and I was watching TV and a commercial came across. And the commercial said, you're tired of being sick and tired with your finances, right? It was this guy named Charles J. Givens. And he was talking about this book that he had called Wealth Without Risk. And he was giving all this information. He was going to be he's in Orlando, Florida. And I was like, oh, that's an hour away. And it just resonated with me. And I wrote all the information down, called the number, set up for me to go the next weekend. And boom, it was like, man, everything this guy was talking about was like he had peeked into my window in my house, into my finances, and he could see what was happening.
Okay. And will you mind helping us peek into your window just a minute? I think we have folks listening from all different walks of life. And I bet when you said, hey, my bank balance was here, my income was here, I was broke, that probably resonates with some people. I would love to hear a little bit about what was it like if I was to peek into your life at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was very simple. We really had bills that were piled up and not enough money to pay all those bills. This was back in in the 90s and would go into a store and they'd say, oh, it's going to cost you $10 a month. Oh, it's going to cost you $12 a month. Oh, it's $15 a month, it's $20 a month, right? It sounds great until you have 10 or 20 of those.
Hey.
Those, that adds up to a lot of money per month. And you don't think about it when you're signing that paper and buying, oh, it's only $10 a month, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And you go somewhere else and the exact same thing. So you don't think about it. And then all of a sudden, those bills start coming in. And that adds up after a while. They caught up with us, right? And I remember going to the payday loan places I owned my car outright. And I'd walk in like I was a big guy, right? Oh, that's Cedric. Hey, hey. And I was, hey, dog. Like they knew me. But I didn't realize that I was a big joke, really, because yes, they knew me because I'd been back there, been there before, right? But I've never was late. I would always go back and get my title and all this type of stuff. And when I got into another crunch, then I would do that. And after a while, that just became overbearing. And I knew that something had to change. And that Saturday morning when I woke up, it was like God hitting me in the head and saying, dumb, you need the V8. You can do something better than this. This is not the life I want for you. So then the commercial came on. I didn't ignore the commercial. I said, this was me. So I was embracing where I was. It was a difficult moment, but I was embracing where I was. I felt like a failure to my family. And I didn't want to feel like that anymore. And Charles J. Givens gave me the lifeline that I needed. And it wasn't a get rich quick type thing. It was, you're going to have to do the grinding work to get out of this mess and change your financial future. And he said it very simple. He said, look, if you get the program and you do the things that I'm telling you to do in here, step by step, you will change your life forever. And I will tell you, it did. I did the hard work. We got out of all that debt. We changed some of our insurances around exactly what he said to do. We started investing money to exactly what he said to do and how to do it. And guess what? It changed our mindset first, right? That had to change. That comes first because we could get out of debt. But if your mindset is still the $10 a month type mindset, guess what? You're going to be back in that same boat again.
Let's go real slow motion real quick. I would love to go to the time when you're in that early mindset, the $10 mm-hmm. mindset, the mindset that says, ooh, that's going to be an easy one. I can just have the thing. Talk to me about that because I have been there. I don't know if you've ever, you probably don't face this, but nowadays you get these little pop-ups on your ads and it's going to be so easy to buy this thing. And if you just buy it within 5 minutes, you get this next thing and you can get this thing for half price. It's a similar game. Talk to me about what that was like for you back in your early 20s, probably wanting to show that you were making it, making the American dream happen. Tell me more about that $10 mindset.
That $10 mindset goes like this. You're trying to impress the guy at the red light that you're never going to meet again. Okay. And every time you see that opportunity, oh, I can just buy this. Oh, I can do this. I can do this because everybody else is doing it. Oh, my friends have this, so I need to get this. This person has this, so I need to get this. That mindset is what really gets you in trouble, right? And it really is not just about you. It's about what you're doing. You don't understand yourself yet. You don't understand the why you exist on earth yet. So what you're doing is you're trying to fit in with everybody else. You're trying to do the exact same thing. They say, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And right. The Joneses can't even keep up with the Joneses because it's too expensive.
They don't know themselves. They're trying to figure out, how do I look the best? And I loved what you just said. That was really powerful. You don't even know yourself yet. You don't know why you're here on this earth.
Right.
So tell me more about how having that knowledge can move you away from the wanting to impress the guy at the red light to something different.
It's a powerful thing. When you understand your why God puts you here on earth, your mindset is going to change. When you understand your why, your way becomes clear. You see, the why is the mission, the passion. The way is the path that you're going to take to get there. When you understand your why, everything else around you changes. Now, what your friends think, say, doesn't matter. Not now, what someone else says about you or thinks about you no longer matters because you know why you're here. And then it's like the light comes on for you. And then all of a sudden you start living into that. So once I understood my purpose in life, and it wasn't to buy all these little trinket things, the way became very clear. I got to get out of debt. I have to learn how to save money. And you see, my grandfather, and probably a lot of people, grandparents, taught them a long time ago how to have that mindset. We don't listen. See, my grandfather used to always say, don't let that money burn a hole in your pocket. What he's saying is keep it in your pocket. But we didn't pay attention to that. I didn't. When my grandfather, when I was in sixth grade, took me to buy a car and he paid $6,000 cash. He had the cash money in his hand and he counted it out to the guy. He showed it. He showed me the way. And when we walked out, he says, Cedric, if you can't afford to pay it with cash, you don't need it. As a sixth grader, I wasn't listening to that. And a lot of us are like that. We weren't listening to that type of stuff. But your grandparents would teach you, save money for a rainy day. We didn't understand that they didn't go deeper, the next level. So we really didn't understand what it meant. Now I know what it means.
You're shedding some light on something. Many of us don't listen to our elders. We have to learn the hard way. And because our elders didn't go that double click to say, here's what it means, let's unpack that a little bit. And I'd like to hear, what is the thing that if you had known it 10 years before you had that 29-year-old wake-up call, what is the thing that is the double click behind don't go for the immediate thing?
I don't know that 10 years earlier, I was ready to receive it.
Okay.
Because 10 years earlier, I was 19. 19-year-old boys, we are full of testosterone. We're brass. We're ready to go out and shake up the world. We don't want people telling us what to do and how to do it. We want to do it our way. That's just how we are at 19 years old. And girls, I'm sure they have the exact same thing. We're grown now. And we say it pretty boldly. I'm grown now. I don't need you to tell me. So I don't know that I was ready to receive it 10 years early. Here's the thing, the beautiful thing. And look, you're listening and you're not a religious or spiritual person. You don't believe in God. I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you, this is how I believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was the one that put me through this journey over 10 years. He knew at 29, I was going to have one of these moments, right? He put all those things in place. He fooled me earlier. He didn't fool me earlier. What he did was tried me earlier to see if I was going to fall into these things, right? To get me ready for when I was 29 so that I could be prepared to listen. He put all these things in place so that 29, I'd be ready to receive it. But because he knew the plans he had for me for later on. But if I wouldn't have gone through that test, guess what? At 29, I wouldn't have received it either.
Tell me about some of the tests that you went through on the way to 29, because I bet there's a lot of folks out there that are walking through some tests right now, and they might start to see, hey, this might be a test. I'm getting ready for something. What are some of the tests now in hindsight that you can see that you couldn't see then?
Yeah, I got married when I was 19 years old. My girlfriend was 17 in her senior year of high school. Her mother called and said, hey, Cedric, my daughter's pregnant. I said, yes, ma'am, I know that. That was a test. The next test came when we had to decide to what we're going to do for our life. I didn't have a car at the time. I was riding a bicycle until my daughter was born and my sister gave me her old car. But before then, I was riding a bike to work, to school. I was in college. I was riding my bike there. And the test, was I willing to do what it takes to be a man and raise a family? Yes. I remember riding in the rain, pouring down raining on my bike at 4 a.m. to get to work. Right? I had a raincoat on, but by the time I got to work, from my knees down, I was soaking wet. But I didn't say, well, it's raining, I can't go to work. I still went to work because I knew that I had a family. Then the next test came along was when we got into this financial challenge. How was I going to get through this test? Was I going to break and fold? Or was I going to stand up to it, to the challenge, right? Because nobody got me or us into that situation but us, our own mindset, our own spending habits, our own lack of discipline, our own lack of self-control, because we had to have it all right then. We built a new house, so we got to have furniture in every room. You built a new house, so you got to have also a new car. You built a new house, so you have to also have this. Those were all tests. We failed those tests. But then when we got to 29, that was the big test.
Boom. What made you ready to receive the message by then, do you think?
Being broke.
Being broke for a long enough time?
Yes. Not knowing where the money was going to come from. Wanting to change. Knowing that there was something else out there. And here's what we said. I said, if white people can learn how to have all of this stuff, how come I can't? That's what I said. And that was my mindset back then. And now I know that white people struggle just as well as black people struggle, right? But my mindset back then was, how can white people have all of this? And then I struggle this way. There has to be a better way. So when that TV commercial came on, that was the better way. Now, I don't know how many times that commercial came on before it hit my consciousness and said, listen to it. But I know that Saturday morning, it was loud and clear.
So all through, you went through a lot of trials. You had a girlfriend, had teen pregnancy, had to make a big decision to make a grown-up decision, become a family. You were doing all the right things. You were not taking the easy road. You were going to school in the rain, all the things. You were going to work. You were making it happen. And nonetheless, all of this kind of comparison so that you could be as good at the guy at the stoplight and have the things you needed to have. You were like, I got to do that. How? There was no other way. You didn't know. And then suddenly you realized, hey, there is another way for me. Yeah. Amazing. And those aren't small things that you all went through.
No, they're not. No. They're major things. And here's the thing. That was for us in the 90s. Today, there are people going through this same thing as well.
Absolutely.
Right. And they just need to be ready to step up to the challenge. They just need to be ready to receive the message and know that just because you are in a certain way today doesn't mean you have to always be in that certain way. And just because you come from this socioeconomic class doesn't mean you have to always be in that socioeconomic class. You have to be willing to make the change and take some action, do things differently going forward.
When you think about, you got up, you drove to this class in Orlando, mm-hmm. which, you know, you could have been a get rich quick scheme, but you said, no, I knew I had to put in some work. I was willing to do some things differently. Tell me a little bit about, from that aha moment on, we're past the messy. Now we're into, maybe there's a little more messy. I don't know. But tell me some of the things that came to you as you started to shift into a new way of thinking about your mission in life.
So it was very clear. And I put that in my book, Million Dollar Beach House, My Journey to an Extraordinary Life. I show the pages that I filled out back then that showed savings account, zero, checking account, zero, investment account, zero, retirement account, zero. All of those things were zeros, okay? But then I had to write what my goals were, okay, and where I wanted to be. So then I wrote those out as well. Share that in the book so people can see. I'm not just talking theory here. I'm talking about stuff that I actually did, meaning I did the work. And then I put together goals, and here's where I wanted to be. I wanted to go from zero to over here, heroes type status, right? And then it was putting in the work to then make that happen. So we changed all the way that we think about money, telling our money what to do versus letting our money telling us what to do. Not going on vacation. We had friends that were going on vacation. We said, no, we can't go. Friends going on trips. No, we can't go. We have somewhere else we're going right now. And it didn't matter if they clowned us or laughed or whatever. We knew that we had a bigger goal in mind. And so we're going to have to say no to some things. No to buying new cars anymore. No to a whole lot of things. It was this total mindset transformation.
Did it happen so easy that you could just suddenly start saying no, or were there struggles along the way?
It did. It was very drastic. It was boom. That Saturday, I went. And he told me, and he said it was going to cost $200 for this program. I didn't have $200. So it took us a month to save the $200 for the program. But I was on fire. I could tell that there was something about what he was saying here. And then I got the $200. Boom. I bought the system and I came home and we started, boom, working on a program that same day. We didn't say, let's wait 6 months. No, because we were already broke. In order to change, We wanted money.
There was a pivotal moment there. You said something's got to change and you were there for it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it didn't matter what nobody else was doing. Here's what we were going to do. And we were in it together. And it's just the way we did it. And I wouldn't change anything.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
What's kept you committed over the years to that? It seems like you've continued to grow from there.
Yeah.
That kept you committed. You had this mindset, you had a goal. And tell me after that.
Yeah. What's kept me committed is when Charles J. Gibbons told me this would work and change my life. And when we did the work, it changed my life. That kept me committed.
So you had evidence. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
When you, before the evidence was maybe having that new car, but then having to walk into the payday loan place or what have you, but you had new evidence and it came because of the hard work that you did. Did it feel any different when you had that kind of evidence in your hand?
It totally felt different. You started gaining, feeling like you gained power because now I could go to sleep at night and not worry about finances. Now then I could go to sleep at night and not worry about this bill getting paid. Go to sleep at night and not worry. If we wanted to do something, we had the cash money to do it. Right.
So before you were giving your power away to get this thing in a way.
Absolutely.
And now you gained power because it was your choice and you had the choices all around.
Absolutely. I tell people when you pay your house off and you don't have a mortgage on your house, guess what happens? The doors open different. The grass feels different. The walls feel different. Everything about it feels different because you own it. All you got to do is pay your taxes, but you own it. No bank can come and say, hey, this or that. None of that. When you own it, man, everything about it is totally different. So I tell people, look at what your car. When you pay off your car, right, you say, yes, I own this car now. Imagine you do that. That changes generations. See, that car is going to go down in value, but that house more than likely is going to increase in value. So it's not only changing your life, but it's changing the life of your children and your children's children.
When you think back to your grandfather giving that advice, and now you're thinking, hey, I've come to a place where I can make a real difference beyond just some advice, but I've changed the trajectory of my bloodline here. Tell me what that's like.
So changing generations, building generational wealth is something that every person in the world should aspire to. It says it in scripture, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. My goal is to leave an inheritance for my children's children's children. You see, when you do that, you do a wonderful thing. See, some people say, if you leave stuff for your kids, they may not appreciate it like you do. That is true. That could happen. However, if you train them in such a way that they learn to appreciate and value things, guess what? They then will appreciate it just as much as you. And then they will do the exact same thing with their kids. If I just taught my kids how to spend money, that's passing on generational curse. But if I train them in saving and investing, that's generational wealth. You decide which side of the line you want to be on, all right? If I teach my kids that they don't have to have a new car every 2 years to impress that guy at the red light that they're never going to see again, it changes their spending habits, their mindset about a new car, and all of those type things. And it trickles down from just that car to everything else that they buy. Now they appreciate money for what is worth. Okay.
And potentially appreciate themselves for the power that they gain by making those decisions, not to be
absolutely
trapped by those
absolutely
places.
You just said it right there, trapped. You see, because when you spend all your money, you become trapped. I want people to understand you can live life and enjoy life and all this type of stuff. It doesn't mean that when you save and invest, it doesn't mean that you never do anything. All you're doing is picking the higher value things over lesser value things. taking the higher value things. And that doesn't mean higher value in a dollar standpoint, but it means that what you're doing is using your money more wisely so that you'll save it to go on this vacation versus every other vacation that everybody else is going on.
In alignment with your goals and your mission and who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You have to have discipline. Where there's a lack of discipline, there will be a lack of money. Where there's a lack of discipline, there'll be a lack of generational wealth happening. Where there's a lack of discipline, there'll be a lack of everything in your life.
So you've said so many important things, and I would love to just take a minute and say, if you were going to talk about how this transformation in your, we'll say right before you hit 30, you made a hard turn, you changed your life, yes, and you're changing it for generations to come. What are three ways that decision to take ownership of your financial situation, your choices, your mission in life, your goals, how did that catapult you forward to where you are today?
Yeah, one, that transformation allowed me to, one, retire at the age of 50, okay? That transformation helped me to teach my kids how to better manage money, their life, and have discipline. It doesn't mean that they don't have difficulties or challenges, okay? Because they do. It just means that they understand, one, how to bounce back from it. And they know at a deeper level than I did at their age that there is a better way, that they can do something different. Okay.
You accelerated their maturing a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing is it gives you freedom. And freedom is something that once you have it, you understand it and you appreciate it. You value it and you will never let it go. Freedom is the main thing. And that's freedom. I can work if I want to work. If I don't want to work, then I don't have to work. All right. Freedom. I can go where I want to go, when I want to go, and how I want to go. Freedom. I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, or not do anything. Right. I'm not dependent on going to get this check in order to do this.
That's free from the traps that you were held in before.
Free from the traps. Yeah. Yes.
And I think one thing you said really resonated with me is you have to have the mindset. So maybe the original mindset is the trap. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You're absolutely right. I wrote a book. It's called Mindset Matters. Your mindset definitely is the trap, because when I was 19, the mindset was the $10, $20 a month. Okay. Today is totally different. It's okay, so how can I do this? Or when can I do this? Or why do I want to do this? So I think about things totally different, right? And see, when you go buy something now, you can just walk in and say, I want this. And sometimes this is going to cost this. I didn't ask you what the cost was. This is what I want. That's a different type of feeling.
You are free. You're not constrained by a price, by a rule, by a system, by an idea that I have to measure up to that person or that person.
Yes, absolutely right. Now, if you have an opportunity to save on something, boom, you want that, okay? If you have the opportunity to, let me say it a different way, you don't necessarily want people to charge you the top price for everything, okay? And that's fine. You'll eventually find out the price. But what you don't, when you go into it saying, how much does this bottle of water cost? Then I'll decide if I can buy it or not. Versus, I want this bottle of water, okay? So sell it to me. That's a different type of feeling and ability, and it gives you that power, gives you confidence. The reason why a lot of people suffer from a lack of self-confidence sometimes is because of decisions that they've made in the past.
Can you talk more about that? Tell me more.
Yeah, so when you have a lack of self-confidence, sometimes the decisions you made early on is going to impact that. So you go into a store to buy something because you don't have the finances for it. So you're going to have lack of self-confidence. So now they can sell you anything. So you see, $200 a month, we can do that. For the next 17 years, it's going to be $200 a month. And because you have a lack of self-confidence and you don't have the money, $200 you can afford. So guess what? Now you're going to do that. For 17 years, you're going to buy that car that's going to be finished in about 10.
And you said, hey, When you have freedom, you have so much more. You're not going to be. And so I think that's a big difference. That how did you shift from those prior decisions? Because you said you even made some of those tough decisions that probably didn't serve you. How did you break free of letting those prior choices rule your future decisions?
Because I know where I came from. So I think for me, that's what impacted that. I know where I was and I know where I don't want to be anymore. I've been poor. I've been rich. I don't want to be poor, right? That's going to impact my decision. It's like drawing a line in the sand, okay? And with anything, any person, right? Anyone that's listening, they understand once they go through something and they say, that experience was bad. I don't want to do that again. Guess what? They're going to do everything they can do to never go through that again. Guess what? That's exactly the same thing that I'm doing now, is trying to never go back to where I once was. Nothing wrong with people who are there today. It just means you don't have to stay there.
You don't have to stay there. And it starts with a mindset, I think.
Starts with a mindset shift, right? You have to take responsibility. To the guys out there who are listening, it's your job, your responsibility to take charge for your family and say no more. If the family, the two adults in the relationship, are not on the same page with finances, it's never going to work, because one's going to be a spender, one's going to be a saver. And if they don't change their mindset together, never going to work. You're never going to go to the next level.
Talk to my independent people for a minute. Some folks aren't attached. So what advice would you give those that are unattached and happily, but still want to make a shift in their life like you did?
So if you don't have a significant other or partner or whatever, then it's all on you. Then what you have to do is say, directionally, here's where I want to go with my finances, and here's where I want to go with my life. And then you have to follow that path. Don't listen to, I'm talking to the ladies right now, don't listen to your girlfriend saying, girl, let's go to that Beyonce concert, when you don't have Beyonce concert money. Yeah. Don't listen to your guy friends and say, hey, let's go play golf. Let's go hang out here. Let's go do this here. I hear some people say they spend $1,000, $700 in a weekend drinking. What is that going to do for you? Nothing. You can be taking that money and putting it up in an investment for the future, right? So whether you're married or you're single, it's the same philosophy. If you want to go to a higher level, you have to start doing higher level things. You can listen to Beyonce on YouTube. It's going to be the same music, right? Until you get to the point where you can afford that, right?
And then maybe going to that concert would be even sweeter, because you wouldn't have the guilt about borrowing money to get there.
Absolutely. Because after that concert, guess what? The electric bill is still going to be due, okay? Your car note's still going to be due. Your rent or your mortgage is still going to be due. So don't go into hock trying to go to that concert to put your boots on the ground or whatever you want to call it. And look, I don't have anything against Beyonce. I'm just using her as an example, okay? It could be Garth Brooks. The point is, don't spend your money going to do those things when you really don't have the money to do that. If you have the money to do it, go right ahead and enjoy yourself, okay?
But don't make choices at the expense of your greater power.
Don't make choices at the expense of the greater power of your next level. You'll have time. You'll have plenty of time to do those things. Trust me, from 29 to 35, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't buy stuff. We didn't do anything and all this type of stuff. How many of you would love to be retired from your corporate job at the age of 50? Now they just send me a retirement check every month and I'm good.
And that started not too long ago in the grand scheme of things, because you made a big choice and you stuck with
it. Absolutely.
And Cedric, here's the question I ask everyone that's on this show. This is a story about transformation, and this is a real story of personal transformation, generational transformation. What advice would you give to somebody 15 years earlier ahead of us in life, in their careers, knowing what you know today?
Yeah. So the advice I would give someone 15 years earlier is this: when you're in your career, that you're going to make a lot of money when you add it up over all the years, okay? Take advantage of that. Invest in your company's 401k, because it's not for the company, it's for you. It's a free money that you're giving up when you don't do it, right? When they do a match, What they're saying is every time you put in money, we're going to put in money. So that's free money you're giving up. So invest in that. If you're not doing it today, do it. If you can't do the max, do something. And every year you increase it, okay? Let's say you get a pay raise every year from your company, right? Take part of that pay raise and invest it. See, you've already lived without that money. So you don't even know what it is to live with that money, right?
Yeah.
So take the money before you start seeing it and increase your investment every year, right? If people work for a Fortune 500 company and you're making six figures, there's no way you shouldn't retire at least as a millionaire, maybe a multimillionaire, but at least as a millionaire. There's no way you should if you're making six figures in that company.
It starts with a choice, though, choosing to invest in yourself, to give the long game and not give in to those immediate kind of things that seem so important at the time.
Don't give in to temptation. When you get disciplined in your finances, you change your mindset, it takes your life to a whole nother level. And so today you make the sacrifices for the long-term gain. And whether you want to retire at 50 or you want to retire at 65 is up to you. I wanted to retire at the age of 50 because I wanted to live my life. And I knew that I had a whole lot more to live. And now I can go off and do the things that I really want to do and enjoy, right? Now I've been retired for 8 years. I'm 58 years old. I've been retired for 8 years. Let's think about that.
Yeah. You had the freedom to do it. You had the freedom to choose because you made some big decisions early on.
Yeah. Absolutely, right? Not many of my friends are retired at this age, but when you do, man, life at a whole different level. I didn't want to be one of those people working for 40 years in an organization, and then I retire, and they give me a certificate. And then I retire, and 3 months later, I'm dead because I'm 70 years old.
It's a heartbreaker.
It is a heartbreaker, right? So if you discipline yourself now, you will change things for later. And look, folks, I know some people will say, Cedric, that's hard to do because I have kids and I have this and I have that. I understand. I had all of that as well. But I wanted to make a difference in my life and I wanted things to be different. So I changed my spending habits. I changed my discipline. I changed the way I think. And when you change the way that you think, you change everything else. John Maxwell says in the book, How to Successful People Think, he said the only difference between successful people and unsuccessful people, and that's in any category in your life, is just the way that they think.
Incredible. I am so grateful for your words of wisdom today. And I know a lot of people are going to want to know where to find you. You're a prolific author and someone that does a lot of speaking. Why don't you share with us where people can find you, Cedric?
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm an 8-time visionary author. This is the boy who I had to be forced to read one book in the fifth grade. Now I've written 8 books and I have a deal to do 30 and we're rocking. Okay. So I can be found on Facebook. Just my name, Cedric LaFleur. Just look me up. Our LaFleur Leadership Institute on both of those pages are on Facebook. On LinkedIn, again, it's my name. I'm Cedric LaFleur. And my website is LaFleurLeadershipInstitute.com. And we are in the business of helping build best-in-class leaders. We work with organizations to do this. We work with individuals on helping them understand how to start a business and grow a business. I've grown two multi-six-figure businesses. One was a 7-figure business. And let me tell you, everything that we do is intentional and we're about taking action. I'm not the talk about it 100 times guy. I will have a dream and I'll get up the next morning and I will take action on that dream. I was sitting right here right now. A thought will come to my head about something and I will put it into action right away. So if you call me, be ready to take some action. Okay.
That's how
I operate.
I have loved your story. And this is Transformation Unfiltered. You've been completely unfiltered, which I greatly appreciate. And I think a lot of people will identify with your story. The other thing that really stood out to me was this is about intention. You set your intention, you shifted your mindset, and you took some action. And everything unfolded from there. So I really appreciate the way you ended that story because it really is illustrative of everything you said, taking your intention and turning it into action. First, you have to recognize whether you're in the driver's seat of those intentions or if it's something else. Cedric, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. Folks, if you liked hearing from Cedric and want to hear more of our podcasts, you can go to Transformation Unfiltered on any of your favorite podcast platforms. So please do check it out, and please go check out all of Cedric's great works out there and see if he can help you to find your intention and put it into action.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you, who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.